Voices of the Elephant is proudly sponsored by SiteGround.com, a leader in website hosting and a terrific partner for all your website projects. Their top-notch technologies will make your websites fast and secure. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans. I'm your host, and my special guest today is Dana Luther. Say hi to everybody, Dana.
Hi, everybody.
Now, Dana, we got a couple great topics to talk about. We're going to talk about Docker and one of your talks at Sunshine and even the Yi framework. But this is your first time here on Voices of the Elephant. So I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everybody their first time. What's your hero backstory? How did you get into programming and how did you end up in PHP?
All right. Well, my original walk in life was architecture. As I was involved in those studies, my parents used to mock me because my husband and I spent our entire summer vacation, we were not yet married at the time, reading huge 3-inch DOS tutorials on the beach just to learn things. So this was, you know, back in 95, we were just getting started with things. And later on, I was working at an architecture firm and started to have kids and needed to, you know, not put my entire paycheck into daycare, so became a stay-at-home mom. And in doing so, could not stay away from computers. So I started getting into online gaming, looking at websites. I'd started doing just basic HTML in college, so it was, you know, mid-90s. And as we were doing that, with the online gaming, I got into C programming. So I actually started with C, not PHP. But as I was building these online MUDs, which were very popular back in the day.
I remember MUDs.
We had to have a website to keep track of things. So then I started working with Cold Fusion, which was, you know, not fun if you've done that in the past. And that just sort of morphed one thing into another. Yeah, PHP became my much easier way of doing what I was trying to do with Cold Fusion at the time, once it became available. And then a friend of my mother's, who was a Navy wife, both my mother and the friend were Navy wives, was trying to put together a system for military spouses to be able to work together around the globe to write articles to support one another. And she was going to be hiring women, or all spouses, not just women, but military spouses, to write these articles to be put up on defense. I can't remember what the actual defense website name was, but put up there for to support one another. And this was before we had Dropbox and Google Drive and ways of sharing. But she needed some way to connect these people and to coordinate them and to track what she was paying them. And so she knew I was dabbling with this stuff, and she just asked me if I would be willing to help her out. And that sort of kicked off the whole thing. It was, you know, early 1998, and I built her this huge portal for, we called it wordcrafters.org. And so she used the whole system for tracking her employees, tracking payments, tracking articles and assignments, the editors, all the processes of everything. So we just basically built her this whole online system. And that kind of kept, and once I started, I never quit.
Well, that's very cool. Yes, I remember Cold Fusion. I didn't do a lot of Cold Fusion. I inherited a system one time. Cold Fusion was my first introduction to design patterns, because they used an architectural design pattern called BASS, or the big ass switch statement, because everything, the index page was always this big switch statement. You know, if it's this, then this, you know, so that was my first introduction. Yeah, I can see, I can hear all of my regular listeners rolling their eyes hard because they've heard that joke before. anyhow, well, that is fascinating. Now, when you say architecture, you mean traditional architecture, not software.
Yeah, like building buildings.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Did you finish your degree?
Yes, I have my bachelor's degree is a Bachelor of Design in Architecture.
Wow, that is so cool. It's fascinating to do these podcasts and meet so many different people that come from so many different areas. You'd think if you're interviewing programmers, most of them started life as programmers, and no, a lot of people didn't. A lot of people are not like me. I knew from the time I was 14, this is what I wanted to do. So, but that is fascinating. Hey, you're here because you're going to be speaking at Sunshine PHP down in Miami, Florida in February 2020. Going to be a blast. I can't wait. But you're actually doing a tutorial and a talk, which, you know, that's ambitious. So let's take them in order. Let's talk to us a little bit about what's going to be in your tutorial.
Certainly. So my tutorial is, it's hands-on Docker, creating your own LEMP or LAMP stack. So basically, I will step you through how to get set up with your development environment so that you can quickly spin up a LEMP stack. So we'll do Linux, Nginx, PHP, and MySQL. And then I'll show you how to switch out your PHP versions. I'll show you how to switch out Nginx for Apache, show you how to add in additional memory storage options. So we'll show you how to put Redis in there. So if you want to start using Redis for your session caching or other capabilities, you certainly can do that. And it's really easy to start playing with it. Really, the whole goal is to get people really comfortable with using Docker to create their development environment and get it set up so that they can quickly switch from, you know, one project to a different project or to quickly switch between the different PHP versions if they got to test or try out things. Because really, the whole goal is to get people very, very comfortable with it. And the best way to do that with Docker is to really just to play with it. Get your hands in there, tweak stuff. Worst case scenario, you have to take it all down and spin it back up again and you haven't lost anything.
This is true. Now it's time for you to be a game changer with the RingCentral Developers Game Changer Program. Grow your skills, help others in the community, and get rewarded with awesome prizes like RingCentral swag, conference tickets, software, iPads, computers, and so much more. Don't just be a developer, be a game changer and join the program today. For more information, visit developers.ringcentral.com. So when you are teaching this, then you're just teaching raw Docker and Docker Compose.
Yeah, so it's actually, we're actually using Docker Swarm. We're showing you how to set up a Docker Compose file that you would run by doing Docker Stack Deploy. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, there's no scripting required once you switch to using a Docker Compose file and Docker Swarm. Okay. It will basically take all of the different services that you want to put together and it will spin up containers for each of those services and scale them based on what you've specified. It will also create your storage volumes and apply them where they need to be. And it is pretty much platform agnostic. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about Windows or Linux or Mac OS. You're pretty much good to go across them all. The one caveat to that is with the storage mount paths if you're going to be creating your storage volumes. So I have actually cheated and made a script that actually will create all of the different storage volumes on my Mac machine and then a modified one that will create them all on a Windows machine. And then inside of my Docker Compose file, I reference everything as a named storage volume instead of as a local path. That way it's one script that just creates all the volumes and then, you know, the Docker Compose file is totally agnostic.
That is very cool. Now this is a 4-hour tutorial that you'll be teaching?
I have to double check, but I think so. It's a good part of the day.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that sounds fascinating. I can't wait to, I'll stick my head in there and see what I can learn. Cause that's going to be great. Now you've also got a regular, session going on, in the non-tutorial days. Talk to us a little bit about, feature flags and what you're going to be teaching in that class.
Sure. So the session I'm doing there is integrated feature flag management. I'm actually going to be demonstrating how you can implement them, feature flags for canary releases. So if you want to roll out a new feature to only 1% of the population, and then 10% or 20%, you know, increase it slowly over time as you see performance. Mm-hmm. We can use feature flags to do A/B testing. So you get 50% doing one and 50% doing the other. You know, you tie that into your Google Analytics and your data layer, so you can track your, you know, your page conversions based on each of those. We call them buckets with Swivel. So, and I mentioned Swivel. Swivel is the back-end feature flag management system that I prefer. It's one I learned about at Sunshine the first year I was at Sunshine. Mm-hmm. And I have written an adapter for that so that it works with Yi Framework, which is my framework of choice that we use at the office. And so for me, it just simplifies things greatly. We have it set up to use MySQL backend to store all the feature flags, mm-hmm. so that we can manipulate it very quickly and easily and directly. But you can write any data backend storage for it you want, so you can connect it to whatever your preference is. There are other systems out there, and there's a lot of different ways you can use them. So I've seen a lot of ones that you have to pay a lot of money to take advantage of, and subscription services for this, that, and the other. And really, I mean, it's so straightforward. You don't really need a big service to do that, unless you're, I don't know, at an enterprise level so far above and beyond what I'm thinking of. But for most people, it's definitely not out of reach. And so really, I just want to show people how they can do this in a very straightforward way and not worry about spending big bucks.
Very cool. Hey, I can't wait to see that. Feature flags has always been something I've seen them done, but it hasn't gelled in my head yet. So I can't wait to sit in on your session on that. Hey, you mentioned the Yi framework, and I wanted to ask you about that because there's a lot of frameworks out there. Yi is one of probably the top five, but it's not one of the top three. Why did you go with Yi?
So I started working with Yi about 10 years ago. So I've been with that framework for a long time. Yeah. At the time, we were trying to make a recommendation for a client on which framework to look at. And I had never really used a framework before. I'd looked at all of the different ones that were out there and pretty much rejected all of them because there was so much extra overhead and so much complication that I didn't want. Mm. And so Yi framework at the time was the most consistent with how I was currently programming my own homebrewed stuff. Okay. So it was a very simple transition for me to go from one to the other. It also had a great, and still has, a great active community that gets involved and answers one another's questions. It has a lot of extensions and support for those extensions. They've been very active in sticking with the framework. You know, I started at 1.0.5. And then now we're at 2.0.30. I just upgraded yesterday. So it's moving right along. And the latest one, there's been some debate with the 2.0 branch, you know, to get it fully 7.4 PHP compliant or not. The next edition, the E3.0, is already 7.4.
Oh, wow.
Ready. But they're working on the 2.0 versions right now. My understanding is that the framework itself is ready, but the tests that the framework has to check it are not, because of the PHP unit pieces and how that goes together. So there's some work that may need to happen there. But I believe that Alex is committed to doing that.
Very cool. What's the, other than the fact that it makes sense to you, this is the way you were programming your own stuff, what's the one thing that you love about the Yi framework?
I love its simplicity, honestly. It's just very elegant of a framework. You know, when you spin up a new application, you create your models. It has what's called the GUI interface. It's a GII. Mm-hmm. And from there, if you've created a schema in the database, you can use a generator and it will create the models for you. It will create all your basic CRUD for you based on that. So if you're just trying to spin up something that's just a really quick database interface for somebody to access, you can get that up and running in 5 minutes.
Wow. That is phenomenal. Yeah. Building all that scaffolding by hand is, a lost art, and thankfully so.
Yes.
Thankfully, most of us don't have to do that.
Just recently, we had been, up at a conference just last month, and learning about Open API and all these other pieces. And mm-hmm. one of the gentlemen who is a core Yi contributor has actually posted, you can now create API first model schema directly from the command line as well. So it'll read your schemas and generate all that piece. So it's, they're just keeping up with the times.
That is very cool. Hey, Dana, I want to thank you for being here with us on Voices of the Elephant. I've taken up too much of your time already. I do appreciate you being willing to come talk to us. And audience, I want to thank you for being a part of another episode of Voices of the Elephant. Hey, do us a favor. If you like what we're doing, go find us on your favorite podcasting network and leave us a rating. We'd really appreciate it if you'd give us some feedback. And if there's something better we can do, if there's a better, if there's a guest you want to see or some way that we can better serve you, please don't hesitate to drop me an email, cal@calevans.com. Always happy to hear from listeners. Thank you once again for your time, and we'll see you right here next week on Voices of the Elephant. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.